Isaac Watts, the author of many hymns, penned these words from Psalm 100. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The psalmist exhorts God's people, the Jewish nation, to praise the Lord God, Yahweh. The Lord, the word Lord translates God's personal name, represented in Hebrew and considered too holy to pronounce audibly. It's based on the verb to be, identifying him as a deity who actually exists, the relatable covenant-keeping God. This hymn was used in the temple with the sacrifices of praise to lay everything aside that hinders and to make a joyful, joyful noise unto the Lord. So as this morning, as we walk through this psalm, I want you to try and to lay aside everything of this world that may be hindering you, everything that is on your mind. I know that's no easy task for me as well. We have a lot going on in our lives. We have a lot going on in our brains. But I exhort you just for a few moments this morning to consider this call to thanksgiving to our eternal Creator God and to give him alone thanksgiving from your heart. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You see, the psalmist doesn't start with declaring the Lord's character or sovereignty. The psalmist clearly calls out to what? Shout. Shout for joy to the Lord. Start with a shout, all the lands, all the earth. A glad shout, such as a loyal subject would call out before their sovereign. And I kind of like the British monarchy. I kind of like the customs and traditions of the British monarchy. And I love before they play their national anthem, God Save the King, the trumpets, the herald trumpets play out. And that's what I think of when the psalmist says, shout for joy to all the earth. A shout of joy of loyal subjects calling out before their sovereign. It's a glad shout which shows a heart and an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving as well. The shout comes from a cheerful spirit as well. The theologian Charles Spurgeon once said, "Our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with his nature, his acts, and the gratitude that we should cherish for his mercies." So do we shout for joy to the Lord? Do we do that in our homes? Do we do that in our neighborhoods? Do we do that here at Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then the psalmist continues with, all the earth, or all the lands. The psalmist is not only calling the nation of Israel, but all the earth, a call to all the lands and to all the people to join in praising Yahweh. Both Jews and Gentiles are to be part of this chorus of praise. Yes, this psalm is written to the nation of Israel, but today it is relevant for all the earth and for all the lands, especially the Lord's own who claim him as Lord and Savior. And we know from the scriptures that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, on things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day that will happen. We see that now that's written to us in Revelation. One day that will happen. All the lands will shout for joy. all the lands will shout to the one who is worthy. The psalmist exhorts in verse 2 to worship the Lord with gladness, to come before him with singing, joyful songs. The whole earth, as we saw in 1, is invited to serve the Lord. The psalmist would have been thinking about service and the worship of the temple sacrifices. But this exhortation applies to any service and to all the people to be directed to the Lord God. And those who serve should do it with gladness. Again, Spurgeon says, as for the two true believers in Jesus Christ, they serve their God because they love to serve him. And it is a delight to worship the Most High. Well, do we delight to worship the Lord? Do we worship the Lord with great gladness? There's a song that we love to sing. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And the chorus says, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. That chorus is sung through twice, and it punctuates that I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. The psalmist says, come before him in singing. You know, we have such a rich heritage in singing. We have wonderful hymns of the faith. We've got great contemporary hymns that help us to praise and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. We love our hymns. We love our choruses. We're thankful for those hymn writers that God has inspired to write those words and for those individuals that have put the music to those lyrics. Some of us can't really sing well, you know, and my father was one of them. And for many, many years, I sat next to him as a young boy right here, and it was painful. It was painful. He tried, bless his heart. He tried. He's singing now. He's with the Lord. So he's got a perfect voice unto the Lord. But it was slightly painful. And he would joke around. We had another brother here, Bob Thompson, and they were buds together. And the two of them, keep them apart. And they would joke about trying to do a duet on Sunday morning. And it was like, no way, no how. But you know something? They tried. They tried. They sang as unto the Lord. And we can do that too, and we do that, and we start with singing, and it gets our hearts right before the Lord. And so we do enjoy singing and standing in his presence and having access to God. We want to do that with exuberance and enthusiasm as we sing these hymns of praise. You know, we can be dull people, can't we? And we can let the weights of this world really burden us and hold us down, and we know that's true for each and every one of us. But when we come to worship the Lord God, Jehovah God, we must come with great gladness in our hearts, our attitudes, and with a great smile. Our Lord God is deserving of that from his people. Let me just challenge you this morning that you can't praise with thanksgiving someone that you don't know. Do you know the Lord God today through the Lord Jesus Christ? As we stood up here and we talked about this dedication to Ian, everything I said about him needing to come to faith in Christ is exactly what each and every one of us need to do as well. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with God the Father through the complete work of his blessed Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ? You can't praise and give thanksgiving to someone that you don't know. Do you know him today? And then a challenge for us this morning, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what about our hearts? Are our hearts filled with praise and gratitude to Jehovah God? Do we taste and see every day that the Lord is good? Are we happy people in the know, in the Lord, knowing that he is our Lord God? It's not about our circumstances. We are not always feeling glad in life, are we? It's about our heart before God and understanding and adoration to the one we recall, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. We read that this morning at our earlier time. It is by grace that we have been saved. We do have a reason to come to the Lord with joy and with gladness, to worship the Lord our God, to praise him with thanksgiving in our hearts today and for all the days ahead, until we are to be in his presence and see him face to face. And even more, we will praise him with joyful hearts. Well, let's start that right now. Let's start that today and for the days ahead. For one day, for those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we'll be in his presence and we will see him for who he is and we will bow down and worship him. Let's just jump down to verse 4. As we mentioned, we're looking at the first section. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give him thanks, give thanks to him and praise his name. The psalmist here pictures all the people of all the lands, as we just read in verse 1, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts and to give him praise and to praise his name. We see the reference here to courts and to gates, referring to the tabernacle of the Old Testament. You see, the people of Israel would come and enter through the gates and enter into the court of the tabernacle. Here was only one gate which people could enter into the tabernacle courtyard. The gate was 30 feet wide. It was located directly in the center of the outer court on the east end. The gate was covered by a curtain or screen made of finely twisted linen in blue, purple, and scarlet. We see this gate today as a representation of Jesus Christ as the only way through which one can fellowship with God and to worship him. The outer court was a very, very busy place. It was full of the Israelites who had come to worship, priests who were offering their sacrifices, as well as many sacrificial animals. The true worshiper loved to go into God's court. This was as close as the people of Israel could come to God's presence. But today, as we see in Hebrews chapter 4, tells us that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now we come boldly to the throne of grace, and we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We as believers have full access to the Lord God himself because of Jesus' blood and his death and the finished work on the cross of Calvary. And we have believed in faith that Jesus alone can save us from our sin. We now come with great, great thanksgiving to bless and to praise the name of the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation and the gift of eternal life to us. Under this new covenant in Jesus Christ, the gates and courts are open wide. And we see in Hebrews chapter 10, we have now confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The great preacher G. Campbell Morgan once said, "It is through the gates of the city, the courts of the sanctuary, were suddenly thrown open, and all the lands are called to serve Jehovah, to know that he is God, and to enter into a relationship with him. So section 1, verses 1, 2, and 4, it's a calling of the people to praise God with thanksgiving, to worship him with gladness of heart and with joyful songs. Now the psalmist will look at verses 3 and 5, and this is the why. The psalmist's reasoning for praising God. Let's look at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. To know that he is God, the Lord is God. To recognize, to fully understand with approval that the Lord is God. Yahweh is God, the one and true God. There is no other God except for the Lord God. Derek Kinder, who is an Old Testament scholar, states, to know is to have firm ground underfoot. It is the prerequisite of praise. Do you know the Lord is God? If you don't know him as Lord, as God, then you do not have the ability to praise him. Do you know him as Lord God? In a commentary, Clark's commentary says this, acknowledge in every possible way, both in public and in private, that Jehovah, the uncreated, self-existent, and eternal being is Elohim, the God who is in covenant with man to instruct, redeem, and to love. In Jeremiah chapter 31, it says this, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. All these years later, the psalmist is saying to you and to me this morning, as friends sitting here in this auditorium, here in this building at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel, do you know the Lord, that he is God? Do you know him personally today? The Lord God is a personal God. He wants a personal relationship with you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist then goes on to say, it is he who has made us. The Lord God is the creator God. God has given us life. And we rejoice this morning in the birth and life of Ian Daniel Reyes. In Genesis 1:27, the word of God says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. And the psalmist says in 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Revelation 4, verse 11 says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And Colossians reiterates the point that all things are created by him and for him. The Lord God is the creator God. The world doesn't say that today, but the scriptures say that emphatically. It is by him alone that all things are made. Again, Colossians 1, verse 16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible and visible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." He is the Creator God. But friend, this morning we must not be born only once humanly, but we must be born twice to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, "Verily, verily, I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." But Jesus answered, "Truly, verily, verily, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying." The Lord ends that by saying, you must be born again. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the Creator God today? Do you know that he formed your inward parts and he knit you together in your mother's womb? Do you know that he is the only one that can give you second birth, spiritual birth, by grace through faith in the work and salvation of his Son, Jesus Christ? And then the psalmist says, thirdly, in this verse, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The nation of Israel celebrated their relationship with God, but as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we are also God's covenant people in Jesus Christ, the new and living covenant with God. We see this in the Lord's Supper, or the communion service that we had just prior to this service. We had previously this morning, where we looked at the wine that resembles the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for us on the cross of Calvary. We remember the bread as we took the bread, that we remembered that it was his body that bore our sin on the tree, that he took upon himself our sin penalty for death in his body and was crucified, a Roman crucifixion, laying down his life, only to raise it again on the third day, where again he had victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. The Lord, in this same ceremony, took the cup of wine, which we remembered this morning. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of me. The holy blood of God's Son would wash our sins away as our Redeemer, redeeming our souls back to God through his life-giving blood. We actually said this morning as well. What can wash away my sin? The answer is nothing, absolutely nothing, but the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the psalmist talks about we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We see that in the scriptures. And those that know him as Lord and Savior, we are his sheep. The Lord loves his sheep. He tenderly cares for his sheep, and he willingly laid down his life for the sheep. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we as his sheep, our response is to praise him. He is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And then finally, the psalmist says in verse 5, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The Lord is good. He is good in his character. It is who he is. It outpours from him. God cannot stop being good. It is his character. Are we thankful for that, my friend, this morning? He offers you today salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that for you is really, really good. It's really good. It's great. Do you know that? The preacher Alistair Begg once said, although our hearts naturally praise the things we value, thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, it is a choice. We choose what we are thankful for, and we choose to whom we are thankful. We should be encouraged every day to give thanks to the Lord, both because he is God and because he is good. Psalmist says in verse 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is kind-hearted. He is gracious. He is good-natured. He is benevolent. He never changes. That's who he is. That is his character. Next, the psalmist says, his loving kindness endures forever. His loving kindness, his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness, this loving kindness endures forever. Forever, for all eternity. Not now, just not now, but always in eternity. Do we know that each day that the Lord gives us when we wake up, that his loving kindness is there and it is fully on display for us? Do we know that, and do we claim that every day that we wake up? Yahweh, Jehovah God, displayed his loving kindness to his chosen people of Israel. You recall the Exodus out of Egypt, the cloud and the pillar of fire in the night to guide them during the day as well. Manna that he provided in the wilderness to sustain them. Miraculous crossings of bodies of water. The promised land that was given. The seas of Jericho. And the list goes on and on and on. Yahweh has not abandoned his promises to his chosen people. The nation of Israel, even though time and time again, the scripture shows us that the nation has turned their back on their God. But today in Jesus Christ, God's covenant relationship has now been extended to those that were previously excluded, to you and to me. A relationship with God the Father, again, how? Through this Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and his complete work on Calvary's cross. The psalmist concludes with, his faithfulness endures to all generations. God's truth is relevant to every person, no matter of their age, their culture, or their background. The author A.W. Tozer said this one time, faithfulness is that in God which guarantees that he will never be or act inconsistent with himself. Everything that God says or does must be in accord with his faithfulness. He will always be true to himself, to his works, and to his creation. When God promises anything, you can be sure that God expects to do it. Our Lord's faithfulness endures for all generations. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great, great is your faithfulness. So we've looked at these short five verses together, an exhortation of praise and thanksgiving. And this morning I would say, are we a Psalm 100 believer? Are we a Psalm 100 believer? We all know this life isn't easy. Praise isn't natural from within us. Most days we probably don't even think about it. But as we meditate on this psalm of thanksgiving and praise, and we see God for who he is and his character and his giving of his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we want the Holy Spirit to produce in us hearts of praise. And we should want to make a joyful noise of praise. We should want to serve the Lord God with daily gladness. We should want to come before his presence with singing. And we want to come into his courts with thanksgiving. We want to enter his courts with praise as well. We want to give him thanks. We want to bless and praise his holy name. So as we come off this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, we've enjoyed it around tables of plentiful bounty, and we've enjoyed family and friends together. It is good for us as believers to give thanks, for he is good. It is good to do that. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with God the Father through his son Jesus Christ, the scriptures say today is the day of salvation. Will you come to him in faith? Will you accept his complete work on Calvary's cross? Will you do that today and be his own? What does it say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Do you want to do that today? Today is the day the Lord is calling. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm, a psalm for giving thanks. Oh Lord, you are good. You are a good God. You are the Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah God. Oh Lord, we pray that you would just prick our hearts this morning and challenge us, Lord, to have hearts of gratitude, to have an attitude of gratitude, Lord, to daily wake up and to give praise unto your great and holy name. We are your people. We are your sheep. Thank you for that fact, and we claim that now. Lord, just draw us to yourself. Draw us to worship you. Draw us to great thanksgiving, again, to bless your holy name. We pray for anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today they would come to know him, to know that they can have sins forgiven through the one who loved them and gave himself for them, that took upon their sin penalty on Calvary's cross, that laid down his life, that died, that was resurrected, and they could have newness in life, confirmation of eternity with you, sins forgiven, that they are a new creation in Christ because of Jesus Christ and his work. Oh Lord, let us give thanks. Encourage our hearts. Challenge our hearts this day and the days ahead. Oh Lord, we give you thanks in the precious and peerless name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior.